At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yes, indeed. Good morning. I am joined this morning by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering your lawn and garden questions by phone and by text. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Danny.
What a beautiful morning, and it looks like a great day to get outside and get some maybe last-minute gardening things done. What do you think?
I think so. It's going to be one of those perfect days to get out there and do stuff.
Actually, it looks like pretty much all this week, although the temperatures, well, we expect it. It's this time of year. As we head through the week, we'll be probably in the upper 20s for overnight lows. So I guess it's... It's just about over for another year, unless you can bring in some plants, I suppose.
You can bring in your plants. You can be planting lots of bulbs right now. That's a wonderful. Get your garlic planted, your daffodils, tulips, and all those minor bulbs. You don't think about next spring. You want to stay pretty.
That's true. Good point. Let's give our listeners a chance to join in on the conversation. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, here's the phone number. It's also the text number, so it works for either. 651-461-9226. Let me give you that again, 651-461-9226. And as usual, Teresa, a lot of folks know that number already, and they're already sending in text questions knowing you're going to be on this morning. So here we go. Let's because you know how busy we get, right, Teresa?
I mean, do. We get really busy, yep, and I love answering questions. So.
Good deal. Here we go. We'll put you to work. Raspberries, how do they spread, by seed or by root growth?
Yes, they spread by both. usually it's just the roots. The roots will spread out. But I have had seeds sprout, and I know there's seeds because I don't have any raspberries in my yard, and all of a sudden they'll show up from a seed. So, yes, it's usually, though, by root growth is how you're going to get them spread.
I know we're getting, the temperature, as I said, getting colder, cooler and colder. There's a maple tree question. Is it okay to prune maple trees right now?
It's really not okay to prune anything unless you have to. For some reason, if a branch is broken, or it's not a good time to prune anything right now. But if there's one branch that is in your way, it's going to be hit by snowblowers. It's going to hit you when you shovel. If you have to prune it now, one branch would be okay.
And as far as oaks, that's another one, right? I mean, wait till the dead of winter.
No, yeah. You're right. Think about all those trees that can have some kind of disease on them. And oaks, apples, elms, ashes. Think about the good time to prune them is when there's no bugs around. Because when there's no bugs around, it's too cold for funguses too. So think about January, February, the first week of March. That's it.
Okay. Back to the phones we go. Donna is calling from Northfield this morning. Donna, good morning. You're on with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Can I cut down my roses, sedum, and peonies as I put leaves over them? Is it okay if I cut them down?
You can cut down once everything is killed by the frost, you can go ahead and prune back your peonies. That's fine. You want to prune those back. The roses, if you have to cut them down, I would wait until you do cover them, and you don't want to cover them with the mulch until the ground's just about frozen. And then you would cut them back to how far you want to prune them back, and then cover them to protect them from the rabbits and the deer. And the other was the sedum. I would leave the sedum standing up all winter. They make a great winter interest plant. They hold the snow really pretty when we get snowfalls. But if you need to cut them down, once anything is killed by the frost, you can cut it down with your perennials like your peonies and sedums.
Okay. Good morning. This texter says, I have seed pods from swamp milkweed. When and how do I plant the seeds? Thank you.
Good question. And thank you for thinking about those. These are one of those plants that are, it's a native plant, and it has to go through winter stratification, which means it needs to go through the winter cold. And that means that you can plant it now, or you can do something called winter planting in the January and February. Well, you just plant them in milk jugs outside. They still go through winter stratification, and then they will prop up and then you can plant them out in the spring.
Okay, let's go to Sunrise, Minnesota. I think Kevin's calling in with a question from Sunrise. Kevin, good morning. What is your question for Teresa?
My question is, I tilled up my old potatoes plot, and I came up with a bonus of canna lilies that I'd planted 10, 15 years ago. And I tore the bulbs. I got them out of the gut. And I scraped off the dirt. But how do you store them, and then when do you replant them?
Okay. So you'd want to bring those in before the ground freezes, obviously. And then you've scraped out most of the dirt. You want them to harden off just a little bit, to callus off just a little bit. Leave them sit in your house maybe a week or two, just so that they just kind of get a little bit of a hard skin. And then you can store them in a cool, dark location, a basement if it's not a finished basement. Check them every once in a while just to make sure they're not molding and they're not too dry. And then I would definitely go to the extension website, extension.umn.edu, and see what particular needs the canna lilies have. Every bulb and tuber has its own special need, whether it's more humidity, less humidity, more warmth, less warmth. But you're thinking probably 45 to 55, and more humidity, less humidity, more warmth, less warmth. But you're thinking probably 45 to 55, and then that's the temperature you want to look at. So if you have a root cellar, that would be fantastic. But if you don't have a root cellar, then a cool basement or a very cool closet that can stay dark, and just check on them frequently during the season. Good luck.
Teresa, a lawn question, Teresa. Is it too early for dormant seeding?
Yes. Unless you're up north and you've already gotten snow, you don't want to put the seeds down until the ground's starting to freeze a little bit, because you don't want them to start to break dormant. You want them to stay cold. You want them not to start to root out and break dormancy. So wait until it's a little colder, even just a little before the first snow that you're going to get that's going to keep them out there. That would be the ideal time, because then you're protecting them from birds and everything else that's coming out. But do keep mowing your lawn.
Yep, good point. Let's go to the phones again. Mary is calling in from Crystal, I believe, this morning. Mary, good morning. You're on with Teresa.
Good morning. My question is about nasturtiums. Last summer, I had a lovely crop, and there were little seeds, which I planted this year. And I have this huge, they're overflowing, and I'm still picking them. But there is not one seed on them. What's going on?
They might not just have gotten pollinated, that would be my guess. Or it could be if they're a hybrid and they came back differently, that those just didn't seed as much. So, and also, if it's in too rich of a soil, if they're in too rich of a soil, they don't flower as much, so you're not going to have the chance of seeds. So those are some of the options I would think of.
Okay. Let us take a quick break, Teresa, and we'll be back with more of our Smart Garden Show here on CCO. 36 degrees, going for 55 with sunshine here. You stay with us on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering your lawn and garden questions either by phone or by text. Same number, 651-461-9226. A couple of lawn questions again, Teresa, both about, well, one is about fall fertilizer. Is it too late to put fall fertilizer down?
I don't think it's too late. If you haven't done it yet and you really wanted to do it, go ahead and do it. Do it before it rains. And if you're not going to do it before the ground freezes, don't do it.
Yeah, that makes sense. This may be a good the good week to do it, too.
Yeah.
When I dormant seed, texture says, does the grass have to be cut as short as possible?
Not as short as possible, but as short as healthy. So maybe down to 3 inches, down to 2.5 inches. You don't want to be scraping up the growing points or anything like that. But if you can remove a bunch of that grass so you can get those seeds down onto the soil, that's your best chance for good dormant seeding.
Okay. This listener says, are you supposed to put brown tree wrap on? Also, is there an easy way to put those white tree guards on? It's only the white tree guards that we're supposed to use. Is it only the white tree guards that we're supposed to use? What do you say?
You can use the light brown tree wrap if you're dealing with things like maybe sun scald or salt from your snowblower or the snow from your snowblower. If you're trying to prevent animals, then I would definitely do either hardware cloth as a cylinder around the tree, a little ways away from the tree, or the white tree guards. And there's a super easy way to put those white tree guards on. You cut them in half lengthwise. So you have two long, skinny halves, and then you just put them around the tree, and you duct tape them back together. And then in the spring, you just have to unduct tape or cut one side, and they come off really easy. They're never going to scratch your tree. But you do have to put them on in November and take them off in March. You don't want to leave them on too long. And do use light-colored ones, not dark-colored ones. The dark-colored ones can heat up too much. And you definitely don't want to leave them on all summer because that lets lots of moisture in there and lots of insects in there, and it just creates problems for the tree.
Okay. This listener says, how can I save my geraniums? They were spectacular this year and still look great.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. So the best thing to do are that you have a bunch of options. You can cut your geraniums way back and bring them in the house. You must use them as a houseplant all winter long. Give them a bright sun. If they're actively growing and flowering, fertilize them. If they're just growing but not very active and they're just kind of hanging on, just keep them well watered. Otherwise, you can dig them up, shake a lot of the soil off of the ground, and then just put those in loose paper bags in a cool place in your basement somewhere, and then check on them every month or so to make sure they're not rotting and they're not too desiccated. If they're a little too dry, give them a little sprinkle of water, just a light spritz. Or you can take cuttings of your favorite geraniums, and you can root those cuttings on and treat those as young houseplants all summer, all winter long, and then plant those up in the spring in your house, January, February. Get them in their pots, get them nice and big and growing. You'll have great big plants going out into next year.
If you're just joining us here on Smart Garden, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is answering your questions again, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Should I, texter says, cut back my roses before covering them?
Well, if you're going to cover them, you'll want to cut them back as far as you're going to cover them. If you're putting the covers on the styrofoam or the pressed paper covers. If you put the styrofoam covers on, make sure you leave the tops off of them. They have to breathe. Otherwise, if you're just going to cover them with leaves, just cut them back as far as you have to cover them with the leaves. I would wait until the last minute to do that. You don't want to cut them back too early now. It's way too early to be covering them unless you're already expecting frozen ground and it's really cold where you are and you're already getting snow. Otherwise, it's way too early to cover them. They're just not ready for that.
Teresa, this listener says, many of our yards were devastated this year by the beetles that left their larvae and tore up our lawns. I put down a grub killer, which was helpful, but the bag says, You may have to do it again in 4 months. Can I do this now to prevent them from taking hold of my lawn next spring, or should I wait until the snow is off in the spring?
I would wait until the snow is off in the spring, and then I would read the instructions again and also go to the extension website to make sure you're dealing with whatever larva you're dealing with. Right now, a lot of the grubs have moved down way deeper into the soil. As the soil cools, they move down further so they don't get frozen, and then the killing agents just don't reach them. So the grub killers just don't reach them. So you want to get them when they come back up to the surface where they're going to be feeding, and that's when you want to. That's when the killer is most effective, because obviously they'll be getting contact with it. So read the instructions, and then do go to the extension website to see the life cycle of the beetle grubs, and then you'll be able to see, oh, that's when I should do it. They'll be closer to the surface in June or May or whatever the extension website is telling you. That's when I would do it. I wouldn't do it too early, and I wouldn't do it now.
And you mentioned that website just a bit ago, Teresa. I think it's worth mentioning a couple of times before. Like we always like to do, it's a tremendous resource. And that extension, that website is extension.umn.edu.
It's wonderful.
Oh, there's so much in there. And especially when you think about it, we say this every season, winter season. It's great winter reading. It's great reading any time of the year. But if you're planning ahead, which you should do, there's lots of info, whether it be shrubs or trees or whatever the case may be, extension.umn.edu.
You will love it. There's a little gardening news there, so you can get updated information that's right to this time of year. There's all kinds of information about why would you want to grow a rain garden? Why would you want to garden sustainably? How can I improve my soils? There's just all kinds of information that we don't always think of as gardeners, because there's just so much and it's so exciting and we might get focused on one thing. But it's just great ideas. And what kind of plants can it grow? It's just wonderful.
Yeah, and lawn care. You know, you've
lawn
got
care.
A whole selection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. There's all kinds of stuff there. So you can really, and you can also contact Master Gardeners on there. If you do have a problem, there's Ask a Master Gardener, and you can contact the Master Gardeners through there via the website.
Check it out. Extension.umn.edu. Teresa, let's have a quick break and have a look at that forecast. That weather forecast looks pretty good. No moisture, however, but looks like there'll be lots of sunshine. So we'll check it out in a moment and have another half hour of our Smart Garden Show here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering your lawn and garden questions, either by phone or by text, as usual. Here is that one number to remember, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. I was just thinking, Teresa, what a great weekend to get to the Arboretum.
It would be so
beautiful
out there, yes. And the Apple House afterwards.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Pick up some apples there. That's just, in fact, it's just a, what do they say, a hop, skip, and a jump from the Arboretum.
Is.
Just take a left and pulling out there, and you're there. But online, you need reservations, right?
You do need reservations.
Not for the Apple House, but for the
Arboretum. But just, yep, get out there and enjoy it before the snow, before it's too chilly. But just get out there and enjoy that beautiful sunshine, what there is of it, and the beautiful fresh air.
Yeah, for sure. Here's a question about mums. I have a mum, texter says, that was purchased at a food store. It was doing great, bloomed for a month, now is looking poorly. I use a water meter, so I don't think it's overwatered, but wonder if it's because their growth is, quote, forced.
It could be. It could just be that it's done blooming for the season. So I'm not sure if you have it outside or inside the house. Inside the house, they're a little harder to keep alive for a longer period of time. And a lot of times we can just plant them outside. Sometimes they come back and sometimes they don't. But if you do have them outside planted, don't trim them back at all. Even once they get killed by the frost, mulch them heavily, mark them, and then in the spring, pull back that mulch. And when I say mulch heavily, I mean mulch after the ground is frozen very heavily with a bunch of leaves.
Okay. This listener wants to bring Mycetum in the house over the winter. Can they do that?
You could, if they're not winter hardy. Otherwise, if they are winter hardy, I would just keep them planted in the ground outside. However, if you have a container of sedum that you really like, maybe it's just a beautiful container and you don't want to replant it again in the spring, bring them into the house, treat them as a regular houseplant, clean off the container really well before you bring it in, segregate them away from your other plants for about 2 weeks just to make sure nothing else came in with them, and then give them as much light as you possibly can during the winter time. Good luck.
Okay. Can I still plant, a listener says, a bleeding heart root this fall?
If you've got a bleeding heart root ready to be planted, you better get it planted, yes. It's not the best time, but you can if you have to. If someone just gave it to you or you didn't plant it yet, get it in the ground. That's where it's going to survive the best. Give it a good water when you plant it, and then as soon as the ground starts to freeze or has frozen, mulch it very, very well. But do keep everything watered because we don't have more water in the rain in the forecast. So keep your garden and especially your lawn and especially your evergreens well watered.
True. This listener wants, can I propagate a boysenberry bush and when is the right time?
That's a new one on me. I'm sure you can. I would try maybe air layering it where you take a little nip in the branches that are closest to the ground. Boysenberries, bury that little bit of the stem under the ground, maybe put a little rock on top of it. I would probably do that now or in the spring, and then just keep that growing for maybe a season, and then carefully see if it's rooted out, and then at that time disconnect it from the mother plant and plant it on. I just don't know about boysenberries for sure, but that would be my guess of how to propagate it.
Can I still transplant hostas is the next question.
You know, you can do anything you want. Should you be doing it now? Probably not, unless you have to. If it's a have to because you're going to move, you have building projects coming up, there's something wrong in the area where you've got to get the plant out of there, it's going to survive better if you do transplant it again. Transplant it, disturb the roots as little as possible, give it as much water as you pot, well, a good drink of water, keep watering it till the ground's frozen, and then mulch it heavily. Pull back that mulch early in the spring because you don't want it to get crown rot. It's not the best time to be transplanting anything right now. They don't have time to get into the ground and root out before the ground freezes. But there are problems. There are sometimes where you just have to do something. Can you? Yes. Should you? Probably not.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering your lawn and garden questions on CCO this morning. How do I winterize hibiscus on a raised bed is the next one.
Hopefully it's a hardy hibiscus, and hopefully you've planted it toward the center of the raised bed. What you want to do is then let it die down naturally, mulch it heavily with leaves once the ground is frozen. If it's near the front of the bed where that wood or whatever you have containing your raised bed could get hit by winter sun, whether it's the south or the west sun, maybe put some bags of leaves in front of that to just minimize the thawing out of that part of the ground. And what you want to do is let it go into dormancy, let it go into freezing, and keep it frozen. You don't want it to be freezing and thawing all winter long. So if you can prevent that from happening, and then pull back the leaves in the spring after you've marked it this fall, because they come up really late in the summer, in the late spring, early summer. Sometimes they don't show up until almost the 4th of July, and it freaks you out. Then they come up and they grow like gangbusters. But you just got to be understanding it. It takes a long time for it to wake up out of dormancy. Good luck with that.
Here's our phone number. It's also our text number for your lawn and garden questions, 651-461-9226. Let's go to the phones. Cindy is calling in from Andover this morning. Thank you, Cindy. What's your question for Teresa Rooney?
I got a small poinsettia at the white poinsettia last Christmas time, and it still looks good. So what can I do to make it so it does something pretty this winter?
Okay, what you want to do is make sure you've brought it back into the house, or if it's been in the house all this time, that's wonderful. Then you're going to want to go to the extension website, extension.umn.edu, and look into how to make my poinsettia bloom or turn color again. What you want to do is make those leaves turn colors, and it entails a combination of light and dark, and the dark has to be absolute dark. It can't be a room where it just gets maybe a little lamp in there, or a room where you open up occasionally and light comes in during that dark time. It kind of will wreck the whole system. It's got to be dark, like a closet, or put a box over it and then take the box off and then put the box back on for the number of hours, the light and dark. And it's a long procedure and can take, I think it's 12 weeks. So you've got to get on it right away if you want it for the holiday season.
We've got a question, another one about mowing the lawn, which is important this time of year. For what height and why is that so important?
The mowing of the lawn, you don't want to go too short, because if you go too short, you cut right into the stems of the grass. And if there's still growing time, which lots of our lawns can grow in the cooler season, you cut it off of being able to photosynthesize. Also, when you go that short, you can scalp the yard and scalp the grass, and that can injure the growing points. If you leave it too long, say it gets 4 inches, 5 inches, that laying on your soil all winter long, laying under the snow all winter long, can promote spring molds and snow molds, they're called, and look really gross. It's not a big deal. It's just unappetizing to look at it, and you have to get out there and fix it and rake it up. But if you just cut it back just a little bit, you normally cut it at 3.5 inches, maybe just cut it down to 3 inches. Just take a little bit more of the leaf off. You don't have to get crazy about it. You're mulching. You use a mulcher more. That will really help it. That's why we want to maybe adjust the mowing just a little bit down in the fall. If you're normally 3.5 to 4, you go up and down like that all the time, just bring it down to 3. You don't have to get crazy.
Another lawn question, getting a lot of them this time of year. What about aeration? Can that still be beneficial now?
Aeration is beneficial now. The ground hasn't frozen yet.
Right.
So go ahead and do your aeration.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That'll help that reduce the compaction.
Teresa, this listener wants to know, what is another medium besides straw to pack around the base of a rose bush?
Leaves, especially if you have things like oak leaves, because they don't mat down as well. Nice dried leaves are wonderful to use to pack around.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's a good question. I know what you're going to say. Hello, Denny and Teresa. You mentioned dormant seeding earlier. If I dormant seed this fall, can I apply pre-emergent crabgrass preventer next spring?
It depends. You want to make sure that you apply the pre-emergent after your grass seed has sprouted. So make sure you've gone out there, checked, has your grass seed sprouted? If it's up and growing, then you could put down your pre-emergent. If, however, we get a really late spring and it doesn't come up till May and you want to put down your pre-emergent, then you have to skip it and just deal with the crabgrass and the other pre-emergent weed seeds that would be coming up.
Okay. Here's one for you. What is the best way to winter a ruby lace pitcher plant? It's zone 6 hardy.
To winter that you just bring in the house. That baby has got to come in the house.
Zone 6.
Definitely. Yeah, zone 6. That's way far away from here. You bring it in the house. Again, treat it, clean the pot off really well. Segregate it from your other plants for 2 weeks. Bring it in the house, and then you'll have to go to a website like maybe the University of Florida or University of Miami to get some good tropical information about how to keep those tropical plants alive in your house. Those states down in the south, like Florida, they have some really good information on tropicals. So again, you would go to the extension, the Florida website, extension. .edu for Florida.
And a Smart Garden Show would not be complete without this question. Is it too
creeping
late
Charlie?
Yes. Is it too late to kill Creeping Charlie?
Oh, if Creeping Charlie's still growing, it's not too late to kill it. So you, but you do need to read the label instructions. So we're going to have some pretty cool temperatures, and it may be too late to put down the chemical because the chemical may need to be at 50 and 60 degrees for the air temperature. And I think we're only going to get into the 40s. I believe that's what Denny was saying. So then it's too late in that respect. So then you would have to do manual pulling. But if we get the air temperature to the right amount and it's not raining and it's not windy and it works out with the label, if Creeping Charlie or any of those broadleaf weeds are still alive and growing, you still have time to apply the chemicals that would kill them or set them back.
Okay. Back to the phones we go. Cottage Grove is our location. Mike is calling in. Mike, good morning. What's your question for Teresa Rooney?
Yes, I have difficulty storing dahlia bulbs and cana tubers, and I was wondering if you could build an old-fashioned potato clamp in the ground to store them over winter and then dig them up in the spring.
I'm not sure what the potato thing is that Mike's talking about, but I would hesitate to leave anything like a cana or a dahlia over winter outside. I think the soil just would freeze too deeply. I'm not sure what he's talking about with that. So I can't help you with that one, but I would definitely suggest going to the extension website or even checking out the dahlia. I can't help you with that one, but I would definitely suggest going to the extension website or even checking out the dahlia, Minnesota State Dahlia Growers. They have some good information. Dahlias kind of frighten me a little bit because they're so specialized with their storage. And then those flowers come out and they're just so amazing and beautiful. And I just envy the people who have the abilities to grow them. But you can do it, but I wouldn't leave them outside.
Okay, let's take a quick break here. Invite our listeners to join in. We have more text messages to answer. 651-461-9226 here on Smart Garden on News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. We are here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour with some great help, like folks, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, who's answering your questions, your lawn and garden questions this particular morning at 651-461-9226. All right, Teresa, we still have some business to take care of, so let's get back to it. Is it too late, this listener wants to know, to plant some tulip bulbs?
No, it's not too late to plant tulips. You can get the tulips in as long as the ground isn't frozen. So get the tulips in. Daffodils should have been in already, but if you've got the bulbs, get them in. Buy up the bulbs, plant the bulbs. You'll be so thankful next spring.
This listener's question says, when should I cut back limelight hydrangea tree? It was very full of flowers this year. How do I trim it so it won't be as full next year? I worry about the flowers being too heavy for the branches.
You know, a lot of our plants, if they, as long as they can be nice and big and strong, they can support whatever they're growing. So unless they get a heavy snow on top of them, or we get some torrential rains that beat them down, they're strong enough to support those heavy flowers. So I wouldn't cut them back for that reason. I would definitely, though, go to the extension website and check on what they suggest for cutting back the limelights. Each hydrangea either blooms on new or old wood, so that depends on when you're going to prune it. And right now is not really the time to be pruning anything. But I would definitely go to the extension website and check out how to prune my hydrangea. And they'll give you some really good ideas about how to make those branches nice and strong. If you keep cutting them back, you're always going to have thin, wobbly branches. So you just want to make sure it's a nice, healthy, strong plant, and it will be able to hold up its flowers on its own.
Why don't you give us that extension website again, please?
extension.umn.edu.
That's so great. You're going to love it. You won't regret it.
Even if you just want to look at pretty pictures, it's fine.
No, it's true. I mean, especially, and we do get, as you know, I mean, you're a master gardener, but we get other gardeners on this show, and we have beginning gardeners, which is always kind of fun to hear mm-hmm. from. So you don't have to be a master gardener, but you learn a lot from that website.
And you know, and every gardener is a beginner gardener, no matter how long you've been a gardener. So even if you're just starting and this stuff seems like, oh my gosh, I'll never understand it. Don't worry. Just do one thing at a time. Learn one thing at a time. It's how we all garden, one step at a time, one spade shovel at a time. It's just get out there and just start. And you'll really enjoy it. And don't be intimidated by what you don't know, because we all don't know a whole lot of stuff, no matter how long we've been gardening.
Yeah, it's a lot of excitement there to learn, too.
It's fun learning.
Teresa, I ask you this every year, when does the Master Gardener program, if somebody's interested in becoming a Master Gardener, let's go to that end of the spectrum. How do they do that?
That's a really good question. Right now here in Hennepin County, we've already been interviewing our gardeners, so we're already starting on this next crop of gardeners, so to speak. But if you're interested, just go to the Extension website, and there'll be a little tab there, how to become a Master Gardener. And then you can look up when your county takes applications, because each county does it in a slightly different time frame. It's pretty much, though, most of them start taking applications in the summertime, then they start interviewing or whatever in August, September, October. So that's kind of where it is. And then the gardeners take their class in spring and out at the Arboretum or online during January, February. And then in Hennepin County, we match you up with other gardeners so that you have mentors that will help you the first year, because it can be kind of scary, but it's not really. It's just so much fun to learn and everything else. And then you become a Master Gardener. You put in your volunteer hours, your extra education hours, and every year Master Gardeners have to do volunteer hours and increase their education. So they have education hours that they have to meet every year, requirements. Then they're Master Gardeners. And Master Gardeners are simply people who love to garden, love to learn about gardening, and love to bring that information to their community. That's a Master Gardener.
And you guys are so helpful to each other, besides the listeners and besides folks that just need questions answered, just supporting each other.
We support each other, and we have an email site where we can ask questions of each other all year long. And it just gets crazy. It's crazy every season. Master Gardeners will say, we're having this, we're seeing this in our county, or what is this plant? And as other Master Gardeners will help pitch in and say, this is this plant and this is what it does, and here's more information about it. So we even get learning like that from each other. So it's pretty impressive. Plus, gardeners are cool people. All you people that are gardeners out there, you are cool people.
Excellent. Absolutely. My neighbor, this texter says, has covered his bushes already with bright green plastic bags. Why would a person do that, is the question.
I have no idea. That's not the wisest thing to do. I'm hoping that the bright green bags are very well perforated, that they will let the plant breathe. That sounds really scary to me. I don't know why they would do that.
This listener says, I gave my sister-in-law, Teresa, an outdoor hen and chick. She's kept it in an outdoor porch. Can we now move it, quote, outside, nested against a rock or log?
You know, you could. It's really late to get it planted outside, and they do have shallower roots. I would suggest maybe even bringing it in as a houseplant then, since it's been treated almost as a houseplant already. It's a little late to be trying to get it transplanted. So if she really wants it and can bring it in, I would try keeping it as a houseplant in the brightest lit area, and maybe even giving it a special grow light for the season.
This listener, as you know, we have so many smart listeners, and is referring to that earlier caller. We were both, you and I, unfamiliar with what he was talking about, some old-fashioned. The caller, as far as storing his bulbs, if you recall, that caller was probably, this listener says, talking about an old-fashioned root cellar.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't quite hear what he had said, a potato or something, but I didn't quite hear what he said. But yeah, a root cellar, if you can store your bulbs in a root cellar, that's fantastic. Because it's about 40, 45 degrees and the right humidity, and that will be fantastic for most of your bulbs.
Thank you, listener, for that. Here's another text here. I think we're going to catch them all before you leave us. When bringing in your geraniums, what should you spray the plant for insects with?
you know, you don't, a good stream of water will get off most of your insects. If you have to, if you think there's insects on there that you haven't gotten off and you're really worried about it, you could try an insecticidal soap. However, most of the time, if you just spray your plants really well with water, clean off those containers and especially the saucers and underneath, clean off the soil debris that's on top, bring it in the house and keep it segregated for 2 or 3 weeks from your other plants, you'll be able to see if there's any insects. And if there are insects at that time, identify the insects and go from there. Rather than pre-treating for insects, you don't really want to do that if you don't have to. Just one less thing that you have to worry about on your plants. But I would wait until I see problems before I would treat with anything else.
60 seconds to go. Do I need to trim dead blooms from my hydrangea bushes before next spring?
No. No. Enjoy them. Or trim them as craft projects.
All right. Well, Teresa, thank you so much, as usual, for all your great help. Now, give us one more time that University of Minnesota website, if you would.
Extension.umn.edu, and have a beautiful Halloween.
You waited to say that, didn't you?
I waited to say that.
Happy Halloween. Thanks, Teresa. Always great.
Bye,
always
everybody.
Fun.
Everybody. Have fun. Thanks, Danny.
Thank you. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. And again, we're going to be back again next week with more Lawn and Garden in the talk in the 8 o'clock hour. Now, get those porch questions, well, any kind of a home improvement question, especially decks or decking question, as we promised you. Luke Panik is returning to answer more of your questions next hour on the Home Improvement Show. Luke is the deck and porch specialist with Lindis Construction. So keep those decking questions in mind next hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Right now in the Twin Cities, a few patches of fog, but we'll see sunshine today. 55 the high, right now 37.
Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.